Hey, it's Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of
Kichijoji,
Tokyo, Japan, regrettably still the hottest part of the world.
One day, it'll stop being the hottest part of the world.
Hey, I was having a thought the other day. I'm not sure if you feel the same way, but I remember when I was a kid, and whenever summertime would come around, I'd be so excited for summertime. Be like, wow, summertime is so great. They had songs for it. Now I feel like when summertime comes around, it's like, oh my God, summertime. I feel like a punishment is coming my way. Like summertime when you were younger, it was like, yeah, you're done everything. It's fine. You could enjoy this. But now I feel like I haven't done my homework and I got to suffer.
Summer school.
This is all global warming. It makes summer a lot more painful.
You've been chewing at the bit when it comes to summertime.
Tearing at it
like, gnashing his little horsey
teeth. I am so anti-summer lately.
I am not having that
hard
of a time.
What has changed in you?
I still love the winter. I still prefer autumn.
Yes.
And I'm having a bit of a giggle because our cat has his face pressed up against the glass in an attempt to look outside, but he doesn't know how to get behind the curtain.
Right.
Because I made the curtain really taut so that there'd be good lighting. And he's like, oh, wait, this is never normally like this. It's all right, bud. You'll get through it. No, for me, it's like you just have to namaste your way through the summertime. I go, okay, every year people whinge about the winter. And every year I'm like, you know it's coming.
I've never complained about winter, though.
Well, you don't count because you're Canadian.
All right.
But our other Canadian friends or our other people that don't like the cold, especially our tiny little friends. Like, we're big people. Uh-huh. Not all of you guys have met us, but like I'm 5'7 and a half.
Yeah.
I weigh 160 pounds. Uh-huh. You are 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
And how much do you weigh?
220.
We're not like lightweight people.
Mm-mm.
So that's why when you saw us back in the day in Korea beside K-pop idols, you're like, wow, they're huge because they're all like 5'5".
And this is back in our diet phase. Like I used to weigh 180.
Oh, we were skinny.
Like when we went, like when we were at K-Con, like I was a twig.
Yeah, I think I was in like the 145s, like unhealthily thinny.
Thinny,
skin and thinny. It was unhealthy. It was like you looked like you were good because on camera you looked good, but we weren't like healthy.
No.
Now we're healthy. We're doing okay.
Yeah.
And we have a nice layer of warmth around our bodies for the winter time. Muscles that keep us warm.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that goes against you in the summertime.
Right.
Because you're so hot.
Mm-hmm.
I like my guy. He's so hot all the time and your muscles make you hotter.
Yeah.
So you hate the summer because you're like, why can't I get relief?
No, I hate the summer because they're hotter than they used to be. Like, summers are getting...
Now, you know what? Back in my day, summers weren't so hot. Now summers are really, really hot.
Can we turn that down a little
bit?
We're
a bit too loud. It's okay. We're not peaking.
No, we're not allowed to, you guys, but...
It's the headphones there.
Manly voices.
The point that we're trying to talk about is not global warming.
No.
We have been talking about many different subjects for our Tokyo Tales, and we haven't been really telling any tales about Tokyo.
Today's the day, guys.
Today's the Tokyo Tale, because yesterday we went on an adventure, and we haven't really had the chance to go on adventures. We've had lots of, like, client work that we had to do. Yeah. We did lots of traveling as well.
If you think about it, when we first started, and it's amazing that you guys have come with us on this journey because you've been part of this adventure, but when we started Tokyo Tales, we were just starting to get our feet wet in Japan because people didn't know who we were yet. I mean, like clients and stuff.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what kind of work we were going to put out. And Japanese companies are very hesitant and slow moving,
for sure,
thoughtful, like they don't want to just hire people, while Korea was more kind of like the wild wild west at the time, where we were like, hey, listen, we're gonna pitch this to you and you're gonna like totally go for it, and they're like, I don't know, we're like, you can do it, and they're like, let's just do it. Like,
they do it.
There was like a different kind of way that we
things
were interacting.
Move a little more slowly here,
a lot more slowly, and that's okay. And so we went on a lot of adventures exploring Kichijoji and Mataka because we didn't know our neighborhood, but now we know our neighborhood really well. So yesterday I was out drawing at Light Up Coffee and you were working out. And we said, hey, let's go meet up, girl. And we had our little bikes. And we thought that we would stick around Kichijoji as usual.
Because I needed to eat something after like working out. And I'm like, okay, so what can we need Kichijoji? And we stepped outside. And it was just such a gorgeous sunset happening.
Let's describe this.
It was just like, it looked like 80s vaporwave aesthetics. Like pinks and oranges
and
purples.
And think of like peaches. Soft, soft colors. Soft purples. Soft peaches.
All pastel, like not vibrant at all. Like when we were in like Malmö, like the sunsets were very vibrant.
Wow.
It was very intense color. But this was all like faded, kind
washed
of like
out.
Washed out. It's kind of like if... For those of you that do photography, it's kind of like all the shadows were lifted a little bit. It had that kind of look to it, you know?
And the oppressive heat that we've been having. having, because truthfully, it has been the hottest summer I've ever experienced in my whole 12 years in Asia. For real.
For real.
It's a problem. And there's a massive typhoon coming at us now. So the wind was really weird.
Aren't there two typhoons coming at us?
I've been following the map. Yes. Typhoon number 10 is on its way, which is great, because last year it was like Typhoon 23.
Right.
It came just when we went to Saito Sushi, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And guess where we're going?
We're going to Saito Sushi in a couple weeks.
And guess what's approaching?
Typhoon, but not number 20 something.
No, but the typhoon last year knocked out the train.
Really
trains.
Got in the way of us getting to our sushi.
People couldn't make it. We sat on the train for 20 minutes at one stop, because each station, as the train tried to drive, it was like blowing off the tracks.
Isn't it wild? Like, we just discussed it the other day. Japan has so many typhoons that they don't even name them anymore. Like, in America, they got like Typhoon Patricia and Typhoon Guacamole. I don't know what they name
it. Oh, Simon.
But like in Japan, like, this is Typhoon number 23. Yeah. They're like stars in the sky. You just got to start naming them like M83, AX24. It's wild.
Sorry to randomly interrupt this podcast, but I really just subluxed my kneecap out bad.
Oh.
So if you could grab me an ice pack.
Okay.
Sorry.
Whoa, I'm sorry about that, girl.
It's been hurting all day, probably because I went out on a bike ride yesterday for quite some time.
All right.
Which we will tell you guys about this adventure, but my kneecap was hurting and I went up the stairs too fast. I came down the stairs too fast and it's really painful.
Two different ice packs here. I'm not sure which one you want to use.
All the packs. Do we have one that the Nasty sent? Because it's going to be hard to wrap this around my knee right now. I'll do this one.
I could fill up a nice bag.
Okay, I'll do this one for now because it's quite squishy. But anyhow, it was a beautiful pastel sky. It was an unbelievably gorgeous night. And the reason we brought up the typhoon was because the wind was really unreal.
Yeah.
So on my bike, I just cracked it. On my bike, I have a windmill. Mm-hmm. It's adorable. It's blue. Last year, it was pink. Mm-hmm. And it was doing this thing where the wind would blow at you and it would go to the right. And then it would go and it would just stop. Mm-hmm. Like, and the weird part was I'm biking forward. So normally, as I bike forward, it perpetually moves because of the wind from your bike.
Airflow.
Yeah. But because the wind is so crazy, it literally was like, no, like Neo from the Matrix. And my windmill just stopped. And then it would go the other direction, like it was rewinding. And we're all biking with maybe eight or nine different, it's like traffic time.
Because like we just got on our bikes and instead of like heading towards Kichijoji Station, we just biked towards the sunset. We're like, let's follow this. Let's
see. Oh, we're such a bunch of childless wankers.
Ooh, it's a sunset. Let's go.
We're just biked towards the sunset.
And we had planned to go to like Mitaka Station area because
We planned on going to Shinokubo because we really had a Naengmyeon hankering.
Right.
But then we were like, it's so far away.
That's going to take a while before we eat. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we started like biking towards Mitaka Station, but then we went a bit too far and then we ended up in an area that we totally didn't know.
Yeah.
And then we looked at our map. We're like, oh, we're closer to like, I think it's like Musashi Sakai. I think that's the name. I don't even necessarily. It's a station after Mitaka.
Nishi Mitaka.
No, it's not. It's Musashi something, because I always thought it was like Musashino, but it's Musashi something.
The point is we were like really in the burbs because we followed the sunset.
Yes, we followed the sunset.
It's like following our dreams.
Ooh, is that a butterfly? I just chased a butterfly until I got lost in another country.
Yeah, except listen.
That I don't speak the language in.
It's so safe. And Google Maps is so fantastic in Japan because you just go, where am I? Oh, there I am. Uh-huh. So we took out our maps and the two of us were on a hunt for dirty ramen.
Yes.
We have been looking for this Ramen Walker magazine, which we're going to do a video about talking about. Like, we're gathering all the stuff you need to know to be a ramen, like...
Ramen head, otaku,
right? Uh-huh. And so we're like, we got to find this dirty, grimy ramen that's off the beaten path. And so we stopped because there was an udon shop along the way. Mm-hmm. We're not going to linger on this because we have more to tell you. But we went inside. It was sold out of nearly everything.
Yeah, because around that time, like it was around like 8:30-ish or so. And like they had already run out of a lot of stock.
They closed at like 9 or something. So we were like, okay, this didn't work. We just happened to stumble upon it. Let's head towards this ramen shop.
Yeah.
Simon found a good review.
Yeah.
We went, all right, it's about this way.
Yeah, and we zigzagged everywhere. And right before we got to the ramen shop, we got to the station. And man, that looked hoity-toity. It was one of the cleanest, nicest, newest looking like subway stations I've ever seen. Huge, wide like sidewalks, big walls covered in like shrubbery. Beautiful like lighting, like accent lighting all over. Like it was a really high class looking area.
And the reason it was confusing is because you know when there's a new neighborhood that's been just built and the trees aren't quite grown yet, they're always in like that like half tiny stage and they're like, we're going to be big one day. You're like, you do, you little tiny lamp, or the lamps are new. this place looked like it's been there for a long time. I mean, right. The trees were huge. And when Simon talks about accent lighting,
yeah.
The side of the entire station, I was going to say Eki, my yeah. English and Japanese are swapping in and out, whatever, the Eki, was covered in shrubbery that was long. It had been grown there for a lot, like the vines were long and the lighting was coming up through the bottom.
Right.
So it made the whole structure look like it was alive, like we were lighting up the side of a mountain almost.
The whole, like all the buildings there were like pretty like wide and spacious. They had like a very like big izakaya, much bigger than any izakaya that we have in Kichijoji. Yeah, like it was wide, floors. It was its own standalone building. Like they had like their own little like shopping area street in which everything was like, they all like adhered to like, well, the right side of it was all warm lighting. They had like one like sign on the left that was like blue lighting and it didn't really match the aesthetic, but everything else looked really nice with lanterns and everything. Mm-hmm. And it looked super posh to the point that I'm like, am I going to be escorted off the premises here? Like,
you're from
I'm
Kichijoji. Not sure.
They're like, who is foreigners with tattoos? No, no, you must turn back. This isn't for you. It seemed really, really posh in that area.
But we passed on by.
Yes.
And we headed to our little dirty ramen shop.
Right.
And we turned down this little side street. It was super, like, picture like one lane.
Yeah.
Japan has a lot of side streets that two cars can't pass by each other. They wait patiently for each other. It was one of those streets. And we look, we got our map. Yeah. And sure enough, there's this tiny little shop. I can read the flapping sign that says ramen. And I'm like, that's got to be it.
Right?
It looks so unpretentious.
Right.
You just never, ever know what you're stumbling
There's
upon
no like
Japan.
Branding outside that's like, hey, we're this kind of ramen. There's no big name for it. It's just like ramen lantern.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So we got our bikes and we were like, where should we park them? And we like pulled them up around the outside of the shops. Everything around it was closed. It was just this one shop open. And we were like, you always get this kind of excited, worried burble in your stomach because you don't know if the vending machine is going to be so Japanese that you can't read it. Because some of our favorite shops have handwritten vending machines.
Oh gosh.
And look, I can read food Japanese right now.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Right.
But I cannot read food Japanese written in...
When it's cursive?
Cursive.
Come on.
Like personal creative. Yeah. Like, ooh, like it's so
like
tough
I could read when it's legibly printed out and like I won't be like super fast, but I can still get it. But as soon as you start doing like some handwriting or imperfections or like you don't like put the right kind of accents on things, then I'm really going to have a tough time.
And you know what I always think about?
What?
My Korean students that hated when we wrote in all caps and capital in cursive.
Right.
So my students in high school would always be like teacher, it's really hard for us to read if you do all caps. And I used to think that all caps was clear for people.
Exactly.
Like I would write it in all caps on the board to try to make it as clear as possible. But they said that they grew up learning capital letters and then mostly lowercase.
Yeah.
They didn't learn all caps. So for them, it was like learning a brand new letter because the letter A goes like this, but an all caps letter A goes like this. It's not the same letter.
Yeah.
So we never apply our own what we learn and how easy it is.
Legibility of different languages depends on how long you've been exposed to that language.
Right.
Like it's not like as if like you learn the alphabet and you could read it in every iteration that is done, you know?
So like we can read Japanese, like we can read, in fact, hiragana I'm much better at than katakana, which is the foreign letter alphabet because I hate trying to figure out what word you're trying to say.
Grapefruitsu.
It's like 17 letters.
Yeah.
It's like grapefruitsu. I'm like, what are you trying to say to me? Just put a picture.
Yeah.
If you said it in hiragana, I could read it.
Yeah.
Or if you put it in Japanese, I could read it. But why are you putting it in? Anyhow, the point is that there's always that feeling I have. Like, am I going to know the vending machine?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be a menu? Do we have to sit down?
Yeah.
Are they going to ask us our noodle type?
Because
there's so many questions they can ask you at a shop
of
that
course.
You're unprepared for. Like, going for ramen is, I think, actually the strongest adventure you can go on in Japan.
I love it.
Sushi is like the person you can otsusume it.
Yeah.
Like every other restaurant has a menu, but ramen, it's their craft.
Yeah.
So we open up the door and you're greeted.
Slide the door open.
And it's just got one tiny counter.
Yeah,
maybe
there's
it fits
one row, no
people.
Tables that you could sit at and face each other. Everyone's just in a row.
Staring at the... like chef, you know, and the we're greeted by like an iPod which is plugged into a speaker system blasting rock music.
Yeah.
And I was like, is it it? You know,
as soon as we walked in, like the lady that was working there said, like, we're all out of tsukemen, so you could only pick like the tonkotsu or like the different like iterations of it with like eggs and more like chashu and whatnot. So you got just like the default one.
I went for the OG tonkotsu and then I got an extra egg,
and I got like the Super Bowl one with an extra egg on top of that.
The Super Bowl one,
even. And like when I gave him the ticket, like I bought an extra egg. She's like, it comes with an egg. Are you sure you want another egg? And like, honey, I just deadlifted the most I've ever. I couldn't say that in Japanese, so I said, yes, more egg, please.
You said, hi, daijoubu.
Daijoubu.
Tamago,
hook it up. Give it to me. Nice I want tea. Because I love good ramen eggs. And when I saw the picture, because like sometimes like ramen eggs are a little bit off, but this looked like a good creamy one from the pictures.
And interestingly, by off, what we mean is that if you go to like a traditional chukasoba place, this is why I love the places that we filmed at.
Yeah.
The chukasoba places that we filmed at, if you don't know what we're talking about, you have to go watch the videos, which is why we made them. The eggs are incredible eggs.
Yeah.
But some places you go to for chukasoba, they just have a hard boiled egg.
Overly hard boiled. Like so that the yolk is like all hard. Yeah. It's not as creamy. Like I like my whites cooked and my yolks to be creamy.
That creamy orange. But every ramen chef has their thing they do. Yeah. So they you don't know what you're gonna get. But this is not a chukasoba place. This is a tonkotsu ramen shop.
And it was like it was a blend of kurume styles. Mm-hmm. And like if you saw our kurume like video, like they
What is tonkotsu ramen is the name of the video.
Yeah. And they like include like pig bones, but also like pig skull because like the brains provide a sweetness to it. That might sound creepy to some, but it is what it is.
Hey, and you know what? Using all the meat to me is, I think, the most respectful way that you can eat meat. Like I don't think that people who, like when people eat meat and they're like, ew, like I don't want to see a feather.
Oh my God, or, is
like,
that a bone?
Is that a bone? Like I think that's actually being disrespectful. The animal. If you want to respect the fact that you're eating a creature that, like, you know, vegans and vegetarians have their perspectives on it. Uh-huh. And for me, as somebody who loves to eat meat, the point for me is to respect the entire animal. Yeah. And that's what I believe what you're doing. That to me is like that OG, you know, Canadian, native Canadian or Indian or whatever you want to say. You know, it's that original lifestyle where you appreciate the entire thing the animal is giving to you. Right. Yep. And so to me, using the head and the brain and the bones and the skull, everything to me is saying, I'm not going to let you go to waste, little guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your life was going to be used for many different things.
So we ordered our ramen and we started like sitting there and waiting. And I watched like they had a little frying pan. Oh, they pulled out their menma, which is the bamboo shoot. So this is the first time I actually saw bamboo shoots warmed up on a frying
pan. Let's put it together for them so they see it all. Go.
So
the menma.
They warmed up the menma on the thing. They warmed up chashu. Mine came with three pieces. You only got one piece of chashu. And some places like the meat, it's like
chashu is the pork that's put the inside pork, the slice
roast,
that,
you know, the like roasted. Circular one. Sometimes you get it super overcooked as well, like really tough. But this one right here, that when you got it, because like they warmed it up as well, you could taste like the smokiness from when they like they did something to it in the pan. It had such a deep smoke.
It smelled like it was like almost like a bacon is the way it tasted.
Yeah. You could chew it with your chopsticks.
Yeah.
You just pick it up and it's all like, dissolving. Oh. It was like cotton candy of meat. And it was divine.
So tender, yeah.
And they had that. They had they put a little bit of cabbage and he put his own little like katsuo sauce
on it. I asked him, I was like, sumasen. I'm like, koko de nani desu ka?
Yeah.
And he's like, ah. And then he said that it's like a
homemade
tonkotsu, like a
katsuo
sauce. And
you're supposed to like dip your meat in that. So kind of like when you like dip your, it was
interesting.
I've never had something like that on top of a bowl of soup. They had like raw onions as well. And raw onion, like if you just bite into like an uncooked onion, it's sharp. And that really like cut the real deep heaviness of the broth.
And the other thing that I saw, because it's right in front of you, right? So you're like trying to see what's going on. Interestingly, they always have a big vat where they have their original broth, right? Yeah. And I could see it was very, very milky and very, very clear. Like, not clear, milky colored.
Milky,
which
creamy.
Usually means like...
Turbid.
We'll talk about that word later.
You'll learn that in
Remember
another video.
That, guys. Turbid. Remember turbid for the future. It was a very, very milky looking. And then I look over to the left and I see him coming out of the back room and he's got another pot. And I'm like, what's he doing? And in the pot, it's this dark, like a chocolate, almost like a liquid chocolate looking ramen, like a gravy.
Right.
And I was like, what the heck's that stuff? And I look over and there's like six more ginormous vats, like huge vats just bubbling away.
Like, and the size of this table that we're sitting at
right
here.
Just huge. And a lot of these places keep them going forever. It's like the vat just keeps going. They keep adding and topping to it. It's like a baby that they have to take care of all the time, right? So he takes it and he takes a strainer and he pours it on top. And they usually do that because there's like fat particles and things that they're trying to control and strain out. So the soup goes from being this very, very milky looking, almost like a samgyetang color, to a darker looking gravy-like color.
Yeah.
Because it was more of a brown soup in the end.
Yeah, it was a brown. Yeah.
It didn't start out brown, though. Yeah. And then you see them fiddling with all these little containers and adding shit
on top.
Two
of them sitting beside each other, it looked like surgeons working together. Like one person passing the tool over. Here's some of this. They place some of this.
Nori.
Place some of this. It was this like
garlic
dance routine that they went through. And they put these beautiful bowls of ramen in front of it. And we crushed it.
I crushed it first.
You crushed it. Well, I had a bigger bowl than you, mind you. But we crushed that bowl, and we were just oohing and aahing.
We didn't talk about the noodles. So normally, kume-style noodles, like if you're heading towards Fukuoka, towards the southern part of
Hakata-style, thinner noodles.
Very, very thin. And the reason they're thin is because it was for fishermen's village. Originally, it was so that people in the morning would get up to do the hard work on a boat, and they would have street food ramen. That was how it actually started. That's how ramen like began. People just eating it like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then Tokyo made fatter noodles because I think that we don't go to work on boats. We crush things after hard meals. So you go out, you work all day, and you come home, you're like, crush this meal, right? The noodles were chubbier. I would say they were maybe like three times the size of a kurume style noodle.
I think so.
But not as fat as like
Like an udon fat.
No, not like a pinky size. No. Not like that.
But they were like still like pretty dense noodles.
Yeah, fatter than spaghetti.
Yellow noodles as well. Like I think that might have been like egg yolky even because they were like so dense. My God. I was so enamored by it that like, you know, like we told them at the end, you know, thank you so much. This was delicious. We will see you again. Gochiso sama desu. We went outside and we're trying to plan our next thing. It was so good that I forgot my bag inside the shop. And the chef like ran outside. He's like, hey, you forgot your bag, idiot. He didn't call me an idiot.
Hey,
but
I know this happens in food coma sometimes.
But sometimes the food is so good that you just forget about it.
Your entire life behind. The other thing that was neat was that when we arrived at the shop and you open the door and the woman's like, oh, hey, we're sold out of all this stuff, which was so startling because I'm like preparing myself. The door opens and she's just right there.
You're building up the courage.
And then she's like, everything's sold out. I'm like, ah. But anyhow, when we first walked in, there were other people there, but we ended up being the final customers of the night, even though it wasn't closing time. They were just sold out.
They just sold out.
Do you guys remember the video we just did on tips about like eating in Japan? And we were like, sometimes places just sell out.
This is one of those places that sold out.
Very common because they're making a certain amount of food and they're saying, well, when it's done, it's done. Like, I'm not going to F around and make it differently. Wait, I can say the word it's a podcast.
Well, we still got to monetize this and we still got to like, when we like rate it, we got to say we don't swear. So you're giving me that extra work of editing now.
Well, I guess there's going to be a beepsy sheepsy in there.
There you go.
The sheep beep.
We actually did something really clever right afterwards.
Did we?
Because we found that like with your condition, like after a big meal, like if you exert yourself a lot, then you like tend to like have like some shutdowns. It's like very tiring and exhausting for you. You can't function. You get a little
digestion,
bit like
digestion, huh?
Like your digestion really takes up a lot of your energy.
And we never figured this out until recently talking to our friend Annika. And she was saying that she tends to get really exhausted after she eats. And then we were like, wait a second. Every time that I've ever had a shutdown where I kind of like literally like a robot pulling a plug, where I can't speak, I can't pull my body, has been high exertion. We've biked somewhere,
a heavy meal
eaten, and then we tried to bike home, we tried to walk back, or
we had classical French food, and then you went for a long
walk to the station,
and then you didn't do well. We went to like izakaya, ate and drank heavily, tried to walk back, heavy shutdown. A wedding, which we had a really heavy meal, we tried to dance afterwards, big shutdown. You know, so we've learned that pattern now.
And then I tend to throw up. It's like I can't, it's like my body goes, either you stop. If you either you have the energy to digest this food, or I'm gonna throw it up. That's like what my body says.
Right. So we figured out something clever.
Yes.
Right across the street from the ramen shop was a karaoke bar.
Sure was.
Never been there. Yep. We just figured this would be a good way. You could sit down. We don't have to go too far. You don't have to get back on the bike. And we really needed to go to a karaoke because we usually have a duet. And they like Lonely Islands isn't available anymore. We used to be able to sing Dick in a Box or I'm on the Boat. We had everything down. Like we like our lines back and forth, our dance moves. But now they're gone and we don't know what songs we could sing to impress people.
We felt flummoxed. You know, you go to karaoke. It's very common in Asia and you just, you pick up the microphone and you're like, I don't know what to sing. And you just sit there looking confused. So no, we had to practice
decades. We spent an hour experimenting with new songs. We found a couple that actually like they might be good. So like now that we know how to like sing them well, we're going to go back and we're going to practice our moves for it as well because we are that couple. We are that couple and we will make you uncomfortable in a room because we've rehearsed this.
If you're going to come to karaoke with us, you better bring your A game. I don't want none of this nonsense like, oh, I don't sing. No, everyone sings.
Everyone sings.
It doesn't matter how bad you are. That's the point of karaoke is that you go there with your friends. Like, really think about it because when we were there, we had the all-you-can-eat ice cream bar and the and the soda and stuff. And all these people coming in were like much older than us. People were like in their 50s and 60s sitting in rooms. And I thought, do you think these people are all professional singers?
No.
No, they're like, hey, it's Saturday night and we just crushed a bowl of ramen. Let's go sing have fun. Songs. You literally just go sing songs. You don't need to have that feeling of if you're good or bad. You just
this
go there.
This isn't about
you...
talent. No one's like paying you like to watch you sing. You're not there to perform. You're there to entertain, to have fun, to be vulnerable around your friends. buttons.
Don't hit the notes well. Have your voice
cracked.
Yeah, crack,
have a laugh. Make a good memory. Don't be caught up in this whole, like, oh, I got to be good. It's not
that. You know, you're not a professional singer.
You're not a professional singer. Just enjoy yourself. You know?
We have practiced two different songs.
Yes.
One of them is Fergalicious.
Fergalicious works very well. Good. I think we got that.
One of our favorite parts is
up in the gym, just working on my fitness.
He's my witness.
Ooh-wee.
I'm in the poison rock.
So we got to like figure out who's going to sing what first, but I think we got both down. Also, the Run DMC Christmas song.
Christmas and Hollis.
Works very well for both of us.
I'm aware that it's a Christmas song, but we're very good at it.
Right.
So. I didn't think I was going to be, but it swelled up out inside of me. So, I stood there waiting and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to remember this. And suddenly I'm like, it was December 24th and Hollis Avenue and Green. I just like really got
into it. So now we're going to hire a choreographer to go over something.
Next normal step.
We're going to go on this training regime and we're going to like get these outfits like matching.
Outfits,
and then,
so
no, that's taking a bit
we'll
too far.
We'll wear them under our normal clothing and we'll go to karaoke. We'll just tear it off.
Tear away. Like our, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to, I would love to freak out people that way.
Yeah. You know? One day we can hopefully... This makes sense in my mind, by the way. I really want to work with Coco Curry and I want to get yellow studded jumpsuits, like tops and bottoms that are yellow. And I want it to say like, cause you know, Kill Bill's yellow and black and Coco Curry's yellow and black. And I want it to be like Coco Witchy and I want it to be like studded. And I will wear that all the time because I like the ramen so much, but everyone moves so slow in Japan.
Coco Curry, are you listening?
No,
this is, come
not.
On.
Who? They're like, well, I don't know.
Who is in Aichi Prefecture? Go to Coco Curry. That's where the original one
is.
And look, we got to get this deal going.
I'm going to make the jumpsuits.
I'll make it.
It's not like you're going to have to
hire a seamstress.
We're going to call Adidas.
No, remember
with them just to get it.
We went to that. We went to Narcon and I had the Honey Senpai jacket custom made for that.
Did.
I will go all out for this.
I hired one of my favorite seamstresses off of Etsy.
Yeah.
And she made me my little yellow cute dress for Oran Host Club as well.
I think we're just about to hire another seamstress as
well.
Like we're in talks. So we'll see if that works out well.
Yeah. Hopefully we didn't go over.
Well, I think we went well over.
I'm scared because of my knee.
Well, this is like a good time anyways to stop. Like we're getting close to the 30-minute mark. And I think like we shared our fun sense of adventure. And the point of this is if you see a sunset, just like bike as far as you can with it. Just doesn't matter where you are. Is this just Japan privilege?
Is it just like us being weirdos? Well, you're not going to do that in Chicago.
Yeah, I think this is like Japan privilege. Like, oh, just go where the sunset takes you. Like, no, in other parts of the world, you got to know where you're going. You got to have a plan and you got to have a car.
That's true, but we had a good time. And
we had a great time.
If you're watching this on YouTube instead of listening to the podcast, we'll include some photos of the ramen that we crushed.
Coming up now.